I'm Anderson Cooper. Welcome to the 360 Podcast. New charges in the ferry sinking as the death toll climbs in South Korea. Also contemplating a major new direction in the search for Flight 370. Let's get started. This very grim morning on the water off South Korea, where Kyung La joins us now. So you're just outside what's called the exclusion zone. Take us through what you can see from where you are.
Well, let me have you just take a look at this. We're on the Yellow Sea. We're on a boat. And as you scan this horizon, Anderson, check this out. The number of ships that are on the water. You can see a helicopter flying towards us. And then these smaller boats that you're looking at, these are where the divers get on them from the larger marine vessels. They get into these smaller boats, and that's how they dive down. We're seeing a couple of them just sort of skimming the surface back and forth. Those buoys that you're looking at, you see that crane, and then you see these large buoys just floating there. They're off-white. Those are where the divers have the guidelines, and they go all the way down underneath the sunken ferry. We are very close. We do want to point out we are outside the area where the Coast Guard has drawn a line. We are trying not to interfere, and as far as we know, we are not. But those, you can see those orange vessels are going back and forth, and this is extremely difficult, dangerous work. These divers cannot see in front of their very own faces, but this has been going on throughout the night. When we arrived here about 12 hours ago, you can see that there were lights on that kept going in. And what is driving these divers? When you speak to them, Anderson, what we hear again and again is that they just cannot bear the idea of so many 15, 16, and 17-year-old children being under the water. They are holding on to hope that there may just be a miracle, that there may indeed be an air pocket that they can find some survivors. Anderson.
And Kyung, I mean, this is going on around the clock. I mean, they're working at night, they're diving at night even under these conditions.
They are diving at night even under these conditions. The scary part is that they are not quite able to access the most dangerous parts of the ship because they're worried for their own safety. What they're using is rope to sort of go hand by hand underneath the water, inch by inch, and they're going into the vessel. We have heard from the maritime police that they were able to get inside the vessel at 6 a.m. local time, so they've spent about 3 hours now underneath the water. And I mean, I can see it very closely with my own eyes. What they're doing is that when they find the bodies, they bring them up. Almost 90% of them are wearing life vests just like me. This is a standard life vest here in South Korea. And then they're brought to the surface and then brought back to shore. It is extraordinarily solemn and very, very difficult for them.
So a lot of these kids were wearing a life vest. They're still in their life vest when they've been found. Talk about the investigation. I mean, there have been a number of developments over the weekend and on Monday as well.
When you listen to the radio transmissions, especially, there's a lot of confusion and there seems to be a lack of leadership. So that's what investigators are focusing on. A, did they have a plan? B, did they follow it? And then why did the captain tell everyone to stay inside? Why did he issue the order to stay in their cabin? So there's a question of negligence as well. And then how much cargo was aboard this vessel? That's still a big question mark because many of the people who are aboard this vessel who tell us they heard a large boom. Well, it didn't hit anything. If you look at the topographical map, especially here, there's nothing. There's no rocks that are going to jut out and hit a vessel. So that's what they're looking at, whether the cargo was placed correctly and whether the ship was engineered and balanced appropriately for such a trip. Anderson?